Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Paul's last words and greeting to the Thessalonians. Paul was in prison in Rome, and he knew he wasn't going to make it back to Greece to visit the church at Thessalonica, and he writes these final greetings to them. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are the words, my dear brother and sister. Thessalonica's congregation was every pastor's dream, like Blessed Savior. There were no problems. It was a progressive congregation that looked outside of itself, that took care of the needs outside of itself, that was a true beacon of Christianity, of practiced Christian faith for all to see. If you read Corinth, your hair will stand because of the horrendous things that they did there. If you read Romans, you know that people were trying to make them first Jews, then Christians. And if you read other places, they were full of problems of immorality, some getting drunk on the communion wine and things, dumb things like that, but not Thessalonica. They behaved and they let their faith shine, and they proclaimed the gospel outside of their congregation. Paul was so proud of them. And so he says, yes, you will have hardship, you will suffer pain, you will suffer loss. That's part of living in this life while you wait for Christ's return, but be joyful always. Pray continually. Connect to God. Giving thanks in all circumstances, not only when you are grateful for some big gift of God. And don't pray only when you are in a pickle, but pray continually. Paul's joy were the Thessalonians. So he commends them to God's care. It is as if he were reminding them, and don't forget the gospel is for you. Jesus came to save you, not them. You bask in that. Savor the gospel. Be joyful always when you remember that. And then pray continually and spread the gospel some more. Thessalonians were truly an exemplary congregation. And Paul's joy. I wonder often what Paul would think of Blessed Savior. I truly must say that it is a preacher's dream, a congregation that works in unity, without great schisms, without fightings, a congregation that serves the Lord and sustains the ministry, not only here, but elsewhere too. We have another thing in common with the Thessalonians. We belong to the other side. Remember when God chose Abraham, and Abraham found favor with the Lord. The Lord was pleased with Abraham. Abraham, leave your father and mother and go to the place that I will show you, because you are going to be a blessing to all the world. Abraham was made an example of faith. Until today, the Jewish nation is very proud of that legacy of having Abraham's blood in their veins, to be relatives and descendants of Abraham. Not us. We were those whose ancestors did not find any favor with God. We were the other side. We were the second-class citizens, but no longer, because in Christ we are made one with God's people. Christ brought us to God. Christ gathered us into one. There are no more second-class citizens in God's kingdom. You and I, the objects of God's love, the gospel truly is for us. And so we savor the gospel, we bask in it, and we lavishly distribute it throughout the world, because the gospel is for all people. Christ died for all. Already at his birth, the angel said, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And so you and I are here. And in this time, in these last two Sundays of the church year, we talk about the things of the end, about the end of the world, the end of time, when the King will return. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, reminds us with harsh words that he will come back, and we better be ready. And the way to be ready is by humbling ourselves before him and accepting him as our Savior, not by doing anything. The things that we do, like we promise to support the ministry here and elsewhere, those things are consequence of our faith. They are the fruits of our faith. They are a privilege that only people with faith have to work in the church of Christ. So the whole church year is like a microcosm, like a little summary of our whole life from birth until our end. First, we are in darkness, in Advent, and then Christ is born. We see the light. Then we fall into sin, and Christ dies for us. Then Christ ascends into heaven, but tells us at that time, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." There. That's our marching orders. That's what we do. We don't sit around on our hands not doing anything, just waiting for the King to return. We get busy, and we get busy with joyful work to bring the best news of all to the people of the earth. You are saved. You are not going to die and be separated from God eternally. The Savior has come and wants to save you too. That's our privilege to do that. So that is the sign of the true church that does the work of Christ. And the true church is based on this foundation called the Rock of Ages, the Word of God that does not change. The church is indestructible. No matter what happens, the church cannot die because it is founded on the Word of God. Not on social organizations or little groups here and there of different activities, but the church that confesses its faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the church that prays, the church that hears the Word of God and keeps it. That is the church. And that church is indestructible. And you and I are part of it. Isn't that exciting? Now we go into the whole world, because we are empowered by the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. Our death has been eliminated. We are free to live and live life to the fullest, just as God can give it to us. The church awaits the last day with eager expectation, but with busyness. We busy ourselves in sharing the good news that Christ has died for everyone, with everyone. We do not only buy Bibles and hymnals for our consumption and our use here. We buy Bibles and hymnals for people in other continents, in South America and South Africa and Northern Africa. We translate the Bible for them so that they have access in their own language to the Bible. We teach them how to be pastors of God's people in Africa, in Togo. And we provide Bibles and aid for the people in Mozambique and Angola and South Africa and South America. We do these things because we have been empowered to do so. We have been blessed by God to be a blessing to all. And in that, we truly show ourselves to be children of Abraham, a man of faith. In the Bible it says, Abraham believed, and that was credited to him as righteousness. It doesn't say Abraham did this, this, and the other thing, and that was credited to him for his righteousness. No, Abraham believed. In believing, we are children of Abraham. In believing that the gospel is for us, in accepting that without questioning. Jesus gave the gospel to his church. That is, to all who believe in him. The church lives in the gospel. It enjoys the gospel. And the church propagates the gospel. Meanwhile, we live joyfully all the time. We pray continually. We pray for the needs of the world. We pray for the needs of our nation. And we give thanks to God for all of his bounty to us. And we do not forget that the gospel is for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.